Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to today's episode of Just Us Talks with Tisha, which is my weekly blog radio show in which I discuss everything from the law to social justice, politics, and the like. So if you are tuning in for the first time, my name is Tisha Hillman, and I am a Maryland attorney practicing in the areas of family law, criminal law, and also personal injury. Now, I always like to start off the show by talking about the craziness that's happening in our country, because I literally could do a show like this every single week, every single day, and not run out of material, because there's so many things that are happening, from what's going on in our inactive Congress to what's going on in the current administration politically. You know, yesterday, the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, gave a very interesting account of facts when asked questions by Senate Intelligence Committee members as it relates to the Russia hacking scandal. And if you've been following politics for the last 6 months, you know that this has been a pretty big deal with the fact that Russia has influenced our election, the 2016 election. And so several people are being required to answer questions regarding what they knew, when they knew it, how they knew it, and everything of the sort. And so yesterday was Jeff Sessions' term. And it's interesting because when I looked back at the video, I saw what was a clear case of selective amnesia, where for Jeff Sessions holding the top attorney position in our country, he seemed to have a severe case of amnesia, not remembering anything, where he told Kamala Harris, who is a freshman senator out of California, basically that she was making him nervous because she was asking him questions rapid fire. And I love, love, love Kamala Harris. Now, the thing that is infuriating, though, is this is the second time, because last week there was another Senate Intelligence Committee interview and where the men on the panel kept interrupting Kamala Harris. And I believe not only is it completely and utterly a case of sexism, but it's also just another situation where women are being made to feel as if they are somehow less than men. And no matter how high you get and what the level you get to in this country, there's always going to be a man that's going to attempt to make you feel like you are less than what you are. And so yesterday was just another example where they kept interrupting her. And I believe it was really in an attempt to run out the clock, because I think they were given 7 minutes of questions and answers or whatever per person. And so I think it was an attempt to run out the clock. And so it's just infuriating. But Kamala Harris certainly held her own, continued to ask questions rapid fire to get to the bottom of the situation, because at the end of it all, our country deserves answers. Because if our democracy is being threatened by Russian intelligence and Russian hackers, then it is important for the sake of our democracy that we get to the bottom of it and we figure this out. And so hats off to Kamala Harris. I support her. I think she is doing an incredible job. Keep at them. You are certainly making them nervous, as Jeff Sessions very clearly yesterday. So I can't begin the show completely without also highlighting something that just came through my social media feed, and apparently in Alexandria this morning, I guess senators were getting ready for, I believe it was a charity basketball game. The Democrats and Republicans were supposed to have this basketball game or be preparing for this basketball game. And I'm trying to see the name. It looks like four people were shot at a baseball field. So I believe that the gunman was taken into custody. And I'm trying to get you guys the name. It's House Representative Majority Whip Steve Scalise out of Louisiana. It looks like he was shot in the hip. So there, right now, there's no reports of any fatalities, but certainly this is just one more reminder of why gun control in this country is so important. And I always, I hate the politicizing of any sort of tragedy because it happens every single time. But it's not lost on me, the fact that every time this happens, we talk about gun control, but yet on the Republican side, they're making it easier for specifically for people that have known mental health issues to get weapons. That's dangerous. Now, I have no idea, you know, who shot House Republican, who opened fire, no idea. But what I do know is that access to weapons in this country is far too easy. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it every single time that something like this happens, is if we want to get a handle on tragedies like this and the Sandy Hook shooting and the Orlando Pulse nightclub, I mean, this was just, you know, the anniversary of the nightclub shooting was just, what, 2 days ago. And if we really want to get a handle on this, we really have to talk about common sense gun legislation. But when you have a Congress that is owned, folks, by the NRA, and you have people that are spineless and who refuse to turn down NRA dollars, and NRA dollars are more important to them than the lives of the citizens of this country and the people that live in this country, therein lies the problem. And so until we have people that are no longer controlled by the gun lobby, we will always have these types of issues. Because you cannot say in one breath, and it's always these same platitudes every time a tragedy happens. Our thoughts and prayers are with the families, blah, 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 blah. Our hearts go out, you know, all this kind of stuff. But more so than your hearts going out, full need is for these types of things to stop happening. I would rather, much rather, our elected officials to not have to give those fake speeches saying our hearts and prayers and thoughts and all this stuff with the victims' families and all this kind of stuff. I'd rather them not say that, not have to say that, by having a spine and saying, you know what, no longer will we be controlled by the gun lobbies. We're going to make headway on common sense gun law legislation. And what does not make sense is for people that have mental health issues to have access to weapons. Because when you have someone who's seeing things and, you know, hearing voices, the last thing you need is someone like that with a weapon. Because not only are they potentially a danger to themselves, but they're certainly a potential danger to other people. And folks, we have a problem, country, and it's called capitalism and corporate greed. We got to get a handle on it. But moving on. So I practice, one of the areas I practice in, as I mentioned before, is criminal law. And it's always interesting to me to hear the stories of people who call my office or come to my office for a consultation or whatever, about the facts of you know, as they believe them, right? Because one of the things you don't ask is, did you do it? What, you know, what I always want to know is, tell me the facts as you understand them, right? And so, you know, sometimes people will or will not admit, you know, smoking marijuana. More so now than before, I think people are more open to admitting it for the simple fact that they believe that marijuana is legal. What I want to say unequivocally is that, at least in the state of Maryland, hear me when I say this, marijuana legal. One more time for the folks in the back. Marijuana is not legal in the state of Maryland. What it is decriminalized. And I know for a lot of lay people that language can be a little bit confusing, and I understand that. And so what I want to talk about is basically how to not get caught riding dirty. Because what I mean when I say that, and shout out to, is it Chameleon, is his name Chameleonaire, the rapper who had that song many years ago, Riding Dirty. But anyway, so you don't want to get caught riding dirty, because, as you know, I talk a lot on this show about race and inequality and things like that, because until we, again, one of the other issues is, until we really deal with the issue that race plays in our legal system and in every other system in this country, we will never really deal with the injustices that occur as a result of the role that racism plays in these systems. So the legal system, of course, is notorious for inequitable distribution of sentencing, if you will, and also in the way that Black communities and brown communities are policed. And so one of the things that in the Black community, at least, we talk about a lot is doing X while Black, right? Because it happens all the time. Walking while Black, driving while Black, talking while Black, you know, whatever. Because it seems as if no matter what Black people do, there's always some kind of repercussions for doing behaviors that everyone does and that are completely legal, but that everyone does on a daily basis, but no one else is targeted at the level that Black people are. And so, you know, we just say doing X while Black, right? And so if you find yourself driving while Black, just know that it is not uncommon for police to use precursors in order to stop you, right? So you may be driving along with your friends, doing whatever it is that you're doing, and one of the most common things that police officers do, specifically when the occupants of the vehicle are Black, smell marijuana, right? And let me tell you why they do that. Because the smell of marijuana, there's case law in Maryland that says, basically, if a police officer says that they smelled the odor of marijuana emanating from the vehicle, now guess what? That gives them sufficient probable cause to search the vehicle, right? There's a case called Robinson versus State, right, that basically says that if an officer says that, they now the vehicle. Now, the problem with that is, I know, as a criminal defense attorney and as a Black person, I know that a lot of times that is merely used as a precursor. I was watching this video on social media this morning, and this was in Cobb County, Georgia, which is right outside of Atlanta. I guess, is it considered a suburb of Atlanta? I don't know. But anyway, it's right outside of Atlanta. And so Cobb County is basically It's an upper echelon community outside of Atlanta. And so there's video after video after video of police officers stopping people, saying, and actually in this video, what I saw, what I could stomach, was women. He was stopping women and saying, "I smell marijuana," and placing these women under arrest, putting them through the system because he said he smelled marijuana. But guess what? In all of these cases, the charges were dismissed because the women, they had, you know, a blood test later on that proved they had these women not only had never smoked marijuana, or never smoked marijuana, but there was no marijuana in their system. So, again, officers know that if you say that, you can stop people, you can search their vehicle, and guess what? Now you're putting people under arrest. And I'm not sure if in that case it was to make a quota. I don't know what it was. But it's completely unconstitutional, and it's wrong. It's wrong to put people through the harassment and the indignity of having to go through the criminal justice system for your quota, right? And now, as to the fact that if you are black, there's also an element of fear. Like, there was a video on social media that's been making its rounds, and it really touched my heart because I've been there. It was a black woman, and she was hysterical after being pulled over by police because she was so terrified. Specifically, when the officer asked her to exit her vehicle, she was terrified. This woman was in tears because she thought the officer was going to kill her. And, you know, some people who may not, you know, if some people who may not be black don't understand that level of fear. But trust me, if you say that to any black person in this country, they will understand that level of fear because we see over and over and over officers killing black people without any sort of repercussions. Unarmed people, people who may have had their hands up, people who may have been reaching for their wallet, people who may have been down on the ground with their hands up, you know. And every single instance, the officer has gotten off because the shooting has been deemed justifiable. And that's a whole other show. But anyway, so this woman was terrified. So imagine, you know, you actually may be smoking marijuana or had smoked marijuana in your vehicle before. And so maybe a police officer sees you driving through, you know, a neighborhood that he or she doesn't believe that you belong in, color of your skin, whatever the case may be. So they say that they smell marijuana emanating from your vehicle. What happens next? Well, Robinson versus State says that gives the police officer sufficient probable cause to search your vehicle. Now, here's the thing, though. There's also other case law that says when it comes to searching your person, though, searching your person is a little bit different. And so searching your person, the police officer has to have what's called reasonable articulable suspicion. And that's reasonable articulable suspicion that criminal activity is occurring, right? And so that's what gives the officers the ability to search a person. And so there's another case, like I said, it's called Norman versus State, that says basically without something else, without more, just the fact that marijuana, the smell of marijuana was emanating from a vehicle, while it may be probable cause to search a vehicle, it's not reasonable articulable suspicion to search a person. Remember what I said. As of 2014 in the state of marijuana, marijuana is decriminalized, and it's only decriminalized in if you're possessing less than 10 grams of marijuana. And so what happens is, while it may not be an offense that you can be arrested for, it's certainly an offense that you can be issued a civil citation. And because you can be issued a civil citation, that still means that it's contraband. And contraband just basically means something that you don't have the lawful right to possess. So even though you may be issued a citation, it's still unlawful to possess marijuana, at least in the state of Maryland. So just know that police officers can say that they smell marijuana in your vehicle, and that gives them the right to search your vehicle. Now, I want to talk a little bit about what gives them the right to search your person. So I mentioned the case called Norman versus State. And in Norman versus State, like I said, the Court of Appeals said that without more, just the smell of marijuana is not enough to be able to search a person, because there's constitutional protections to secure, it's called the Fourth Amendment, folks, where it protects people from unreasonable searches and seizures from the government. And so it's basically an unreasonable, not a justifiable reason to search someone, because when you're searching someone, and you're saying the officer says they have reasonable articulable suspicion, what they're basically trying to do is to do what's called a Terry frisk. And I talked about this before. And a Terry frisk is basically just a pat down for weapons. And so, there's been case law that says, well, because, drugs naturally come with, the use of weapons, we are going to basically say that, if you have cocaine, you have cash, right? And you have cocaine, you have cash, you have weapons, because that's a part of the drug trade. That's a part of drug trafficking. And so you have to be very, very careful when you're dealing with these things. Don't listen to Jay-Z when Jay-Z says in 99 Problems, what was the line in 99 Problems? He says, well, my glove compartment is locked, so it is a trunk in the back, and I know my rights, so you're going to need a warrant for that. So that's not true, right? Like I just said, don't listen to Jay-Z. Jay-Z is awesome. I love him to death. But Jay-Z is a little bit wrong when it comes to the state of Maryland, at least. So when we're talking about the court has basically said the only way that you can search a person when you're saying that there's marijuana emanating from the vehicle is there has to be other factors, right? So some of the other factors are flight risk. Is the person running, going to run, look like they're going to run? Now, understand this. Police officers have been known to doctor up reports to make things say what they need to say in order to not get in trouble. So we've seen it 1,000 times. The dashboard cam says something completely different than what the report says, surprise, surprise. Because officers know what it is that they need in order to convince their superiors and convince prosecutors not to bring charges against them, poisonous tree doctrine, which basically states that, if a law enforcement officer, conducts an illegal search and finds contraband, then a lawyer can file a motion to suppress that evidence under the fruit of the poisonous tree doctrine. But basically, if they would never have conducted the unlawful search or seizure, they would never have found the contraband, right? And so in order to protect citizens from these unlawful searches and seizures, in the tree doctrine, right? But anyway, so just know that when you are dealing with law enforcement, specifically as it relates to being in your vehicle. So one of the other things that the courts have said, basically that you need more if you're going to search a person, if you're driving with your license suspended or revoked, right? I've dealt with many, many traffic cases where people are driving with their license suspended or whatever, and all police need to do is say, well, I smelled marijuana, or what I thought was marijuana emanating from the vehicle. And if you're driving while your license is suspended, guess what? Now they have reasonable suspicion to actually search your person. So the location of the marijuana, as it is according to the proximity of the person. So say, for instance, you are in a vehicle with multiple people, and the marijuana is in the armrest, in which or the contraband, whatever, is in the armrest that is close to where every single occupant in the vehicle has access, then it may be that the officer now has reasonable suspicion to search all of the people in the vehicle. So, you know, if the defendant was the driver, if the stop occurred at night in a high crime area, now let me explain what that means. A high crime area usually means an area that is poor and minority. That's what a high crime area means. So if you happen to be rolling through an area that is predominantly black and maybe poor, because the two usually go hand in hand, poor and minority, then it's considered a high crime area. So that's a precursor for officers to be able to search your person. Whether the officer just testifies that, well, guns and drugs go hand in hand. Now, guess what? They have articulated a reasonable, articulable for why they searched your person. Whether you were wearing baggy clothing capable of concealing a weapon, because remember I stated a Terry stop and a Terry frisk is, you know, a stop to, you know, ask a person, you know, their identification, blah, 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 blah. And then the Terry frisk is to search for weapons. But again, it has to look like you have the ability to carry or, I'm sorry, to conceal weapons on your person based on what you're carrying. So if I'm a woman walking down the street in, you know, tight jeans and a halter top with no purse, then chances are I really have no place to conceal, you know, I don't know anything about guns, but, I have no place to conceal a weapon, right? All based on the facts and circumstances of the case. So in a nutshell, if you are going to be engaging in recreational marijuana, and if you are going to be doing that while you're driving, just know that there is a chance that you could be stopped and that your vehicle could be searched if an officer says that they smelled marijuana coming from your vehicle. And if the officer not only says that they smell marijuana emanating from your vehicle, but also some of the other things that I mentioned as well, which are not very hard to come by, right? To say, well, it occurred in a high crime area at night, or the person was wearing baggy jeans, that could give the officer reasonable suspicion that they need in order to search your person. So basically, in a nutshell, folks, if you are going to something that you should not be carrying, make sure that you know your rights. If you want to know your rights, give my office a call, 301-744-7996. We're located at 9701 Apollo Drive in Largo, Maryland, where my office is actually located in Suite 100. Tune in next week, folks. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, know your rights, always exercise your rights, and take care.